Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and welcome to the Electric Drum. Tonight, we are speaking with Reverend Kennedy Hampton Sr., Shiloh Baptist Ministries here in New Haven. Thank you very much for your time.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, opportunity.
You say that you're a humble kid from Newhallville. Tell us about that life.
Born and raised, one of six. Born and raised at 131 Bassett Street, right across the street directly from Lincoln Bassett School.
All right. Tell us a little bit about growing up. Of course, your father, a very infamous individual here in the city of New Haven.
Well, I grew up as a PK. That's a preacher, a pastor's kid. So most certainly I was that. So my upbringing was unique in its own way by being a PK. You know, on Sundays, we didn't have that great privilege of going to the beach and things. We went to church. And we went to church in the morning, and we went to faith night in the evening. And so Sunday was set aside for the Lord's Day.
Tell us a little bit about Mr. George Hampton.
My dad, a legend in my mind, for sure. Entrepreneur on multiple respects, right? Always had multiple businesses, understood the benefit of multiple streams of income, pastored and was called to churches in Kingston, New York. And then one day while sitting on the green, heard a word and decided to come back to New Haven, and he came back to New Haven and started his own church here. I'm a product of Emmanuel Baptist Church as well, because he was a preacher there as well. I came and started his own church, and then one day got a message that he needed to start a love march. And then he went back to his own church, and from then that history began.
Tell me a little anecdote about your father growing up, a little story.
My father growing up. A father that believed in taking care of family. When I say that, I mean my mom never worked. She stayed home and took care of the kids, made sure that she provided for us and took care of us. And he went out and worked and used to tell us, if it means you got to work 3 jobs to take care of your family, go out and work 3 jobs, but you're the provider for the household. Wow. So that's how I grew up. And my mom, being a mom that stayed at home, we were out playing, would come around the block and embarrass us while we're playing with our friends. And she, come over here and let me wash your hands. And she pull out a washcloth because we were playing. And we wash our hands and say, okay, stay clean. Like, okay, mom.
Your mom was a beautiful presence in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What kind of ethics or what moral that you really sticks with you that came from her?
Mom always taught me and us as children and siblings to love family. Family first and do right, you know, and live right, whatever that might look like. But yes, certainly. You know, it was a strong force because she spent that time with us, right? So we had that intimate time from birth all the way up to time to leave home. Mom was there. Dad was there. They divorced later in our lives, but they were together the majority of that, yeah.
How important is it to have that example, or at least that time of a family unit?
Priceless. And I say priceless because growing up being one of 6 children, you know, there was plenty of us in the house, so we always had something good going on, and It was many of us, and we learned, we loved each other, and we stuck together, and we would defend each other. We could mess with each other, but nobody could mess with us.
I was going to ask, having 6, how is the rivalry? I mean, does one person outpreach the other?
Well, Oh, see, now you done slipped into preaching already. Okay, well, I mean, there are three of us that are in ministry. And one down in the Maryland, D.C. area, my brother Gerald, pastors in Stanford, and then myself.
Wow.
No so, rivalry, though.
No rivalry.
No rivalry.
Growing up, there was a different sense of community in the New Hallville area. How has that evolved over time?
Growing up, to me, people will say now you grew up in New Hallville. No, I grew up in a loving neighborhood, where we would have fun. We would go out and play. Lincoln Bassett School was our local playground. Growing up, we understood the respect for our elders. If one of the older persons of the community was carrying groceries, we would stop and say, "We got that for you, Ma." And we'd carry the groceries and bring them to their homes. And at the same time, they were the ones that would sit in the window and look out and watch you. And when you do something that they thought wasn't proper, they would say, "I'm going to tell your mother and father when they come home." So it was truly this sense of a community that loved each other, that looked out for each other, and made sure that they could do what they could do to instill in us a foundation from which we could grow.
Yeah, so you couldn't do no wrong in or out the house.
You got that right.
How was school back then? You know, things have evolved. Was it really strict, or what kind of student were you early on?
I was always a great student in school, enjoyed school. I remember it from kindergarten on up. And I think of school so differently now, right? Back in my day, we kids were kids. But back in my day, we were allowed to be kids, right? We could play. We could play fight. We could do some things back in the day that they most certainly will not tolerate today. And I think that's a major effect on why the kids are like they are today. When I say like they are, I mean always trying to release that energy that they don't get a chance to do. Back in my day, we went to recess, right? We went outside. We did things. And we came home from school, we change out of our school clothes into our play clothes, and we better be outside. Better be outside, you know, creating relationships, camaraderie, and having fun, and just being kids. Unlike what we have today, and I don't want to say that's the norm, but today everything tends to be electronics. You know, kids don't get the exercise that they used to get. They may not even get the relationship building that we had growing up, right? Because we were outside. We were doing things. That's why we had a community, because everybody knew everybody. They, hey, how you doing? You need anything? No. Okay. Boy, and so we just kind of grew up looking out one for another, and I appreciate and miss that sense of community today.
The businesses on Bassett Street have evolved over time. I remember all New Hall and Bassett, they used to be the dry cleaners there.
Absolutely.
There used to be a little hair shop right there, hair salon.
Two corner stores.
You had Bob's store around the corner.
Hey, that's right.
So you had how has that changed over time from, you know, the economics in that neighborhood?
Well, before I end up leaving the neighborhood, I could see the economics changing because the corner stores started going out, right? The corner stores were going, and whether we understood what was happening or not, it was happening right before us. What we may not have been able to appreciate at that time was entrepreneurship, right? People in the community owning the stores. We know them by name. They know us by name. We going, "Hey, how you doing? All right." I mean, and we didn't appreciate the fact that we were actually seeing people owning their own in their neighborhood, right? So before I left, we were able to see stores that had kind of migrated out. The laundromat that used to be on the corner for the community, it began to fade and go away. So the community began to change dramatically, actually, you know, from what I remember, which was a lot of entrepreneurs, African-American businesses and entrepreneurs that were able to teach us. We could see it in action, but then that began to fade away.
You're a preacher's kid from the giddy up. You're at your father's side throughout this time? Were you, you know, with him step by step? And what was that experience watching him work?
Yeah, it was great because, one, I was a son that got a chance to hang out with Dad, right? And Dad showed me the family business, for lack of a better word, right? Because this is what he did. I mean, church was what he did. He founded a church. So from scratch, decided that we're going to start a church. I was much too young when the church got started. But as I got older and was able to be a part of the church, I most certainly became an active part of the church, and stayed with my dad throughout his time. And even before his passing in 2000, you know, I was there as his assistant and working in the church and would play the piano if I needed to for the choirs and help out wherever I could, you know. And so that was a beautiful, beautiful time of being groomed, right, to be able to watch it firsthand. And then in 2000, when he passed, it was a beautiful thing that the church had united and decided to take a vote and vote me in as the next pastor. And that's where I've been for 24 years.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Canelario, having some words here with the Reverend Hampton Shiloh. Now, we were talking about there's no legacy training. There's no teaching of carrying that mantle. Can you talk a little bit about that process for you as how you earned your position?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because you're right. There was no legacy training that was formal, but there was that legacy training of my father getting me involved, getting all the children involved, right? All of us being a part of the church and understanding what that entailed and watching, right? The key was, because at that time there wasn't no social media. There were no distractions of that sort. So we could focus on, this is what we do. We go to church. People in the neighborhood knew, those are the Hamptons, those Reverend Hampton, and they going to church. And that's what we do. And others would say, hey, we'll come hang out with you. And we like, all right, let's do that. And so it was on the job training. It definitely was. And it was on the job training by watching. And the part that I love so the most is that it wasn't an on the job training like you couldn't fail. You could make mistakes. But he was there to help work you and teach you through the mistakes, right? Not hold you accountable and remind you of that mistake forever, but say, hey, this is part of the evolution of life, right? You grow. You're going to be a teenager. And they allowed us to be a teenager, right? They allowed us to do what teenagers do. And that was acceptable and understood. But what happens, I realize, is when you lay a foundation of something positive, even if you slightly lean to the left or the right, the foundation of coming back exists, so you can find your way back home. Mm-hmm. And when the love meets and greets you there, that's a beautiful thing.
There are times in our lives where we have choices that we have to make. And I'm sure as a teenager, you had choices to make. What made you make the choices that you did?
Well, I don't want to sit here and act like I made all the right choices, because I did not. I made some other choices as well. But the good part was, even when I was making those choices, I had a foundation. I had a family that stuck together. I had older brothers and sisters who would help guide you along the way. You know what I mean? And they would check you and tell you, nah, been there, done that. Right? You don't want to travel down that road, because this could be the end result. And so when you're surrounded by love in those moments, I promise you it makes a world of a difference, because they're there to pick you up before you ever fall all the way down.
Mm. So now you're going to church. Talk a little bit about being there and just assuming whatever position there is and learning and how that builds that character.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, because you know, it's like I said, on-the-job training, right? You start out, you just attend church. You start out, you attend Sunday school. You start out, you attend church service. But you're watching all the time, right? And you're seeing how things are going. And then when there's an empty vacancy somewhere, they look at you and they say, what do you think? And I said, I think I can do that. I've been watching it long enough. You know, let me step in and try that. And then you start out. Next thing you know, you're teaching Sunday school, right? You're the Sunday school teacher, and you're excited about that. And then you understand that, okay, part of my job is to help build as well. So you continue to work through and help build the ministry, right? Help build the legacy, as you would say. So, yeah, just one piece, one step, one person, one opportunity at a time.
And waiting, because right now this day and age, people just want the position. They don't want to sit, watch, and learn before they assume the positions. How more beneficial is it to learn by watching than learning on the job?
Let me tell you, it's a world of a difference, right? Oftentimes people say if it comes quick, it'll go quick, right? So what happens is when you can take the time to learn, you can actually learn the pitfalls without you having to be a participant of that, right? You can watch some of the do's and the don'ts, and you can learn some of the things, some of the tricks of the trade, as they would say, if you would just hang around long enough to do so. You have to carry the bag of some of those that were before you, right? I go with my dad to engagements, and I carry his briefcase, right? I'm just there. I'm carrying the briefcase, watch him go, watch him maneuver, watch him do what he does, watch him network, all of these things. And these are things that you learn. And unfortunately, when you don't take the time to settle down, to learn, sometimes you think you can do the things that you're not capable of doing yet, because you think you've learned all that you need to know, but you didn't hang around long enough so they could show you how to maneuver around some situations. So you get stuck in them because you stepped out a little too soon.
Hmm. So you play the piano also?
I did.
By lessons or self-taught?
Nope, self-taught. Self-taught. You sit there, and that's part of the ministry. You listen to everything. And then when there's a vacancy there, you say, you know what? I'll try my best to fill that. And then I self-taught myself, played for some years and played for the choirs and stuff, and do what you got to do to fill in, to make sure that the ministry continues to grow and to blossom.
And these are the opportunities that still exist in the church today. They prepare you for the real world if you want to come. And it's almost like a training, a volunteer training, and then you can take these skills and they apply to the real world.
Absolutely. Part of the ministry that we have at Shiloh is we have a youth ministry, we say. And what we do is I believe it's very important that you train them young. And they used to say to me, why do you have the kids getting up and speaking in front of the church? I said, because this prepares them for the auditorium. Because back in our day, we would have auditorium where you get a chance to get up. And they would say, anybody want to speak? And when you've done that in church and you've done that before people, it creates a boldness, a sense of confidence in yourself that when that opportunity comes, you say, oh, I can do this. I do this on a regular basis. I'll get up. I'll speak to the people. And they yet may not fully realize that what you're doing is building them up to be the leaders as of tomorrow.
Mm. Using the same tactics they used on you, passing them on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the same tactics still exist in the church today. Opportunities exist for people to come in, be a part of ministry, teach kids, teach Sunday school, be a participant of many other things that are involved now into church, be part of media ministry if that's your gift, right? Come in, be part of the social media for the church. Come in, teach the kids even how to play games safely, right? How to look out for the do's and don'ts and the traps of being on the internet and the like. So there are many different opportunities that still exist in the church today, even though things and times are changing.
You even dabbled in radio.
I did, absolutely. I remember being on WYBC. Yes, Sweet Sounds of Praise. Yes, early in the morning. I was on the radio and people would call in, and Wonka still was shocked at how quick I picked up everything on radio. I just had that gift. And before you knew it, I was having people call in and I was clicking them in and having conversations.
And let me tell you, I can see the personality. It applies everywhere, so I appreciate it. You're listening to The Electric Drum right now on 94.3 WYBC. I'm Jose Canelario. This is Reverend Kennedy Hampton Sr., because now he's got a family. Well, let's talk a little bit about assuming the position now as leader of the church. Now you have practice at Sunday school and leading in different capacities. How did this, how did those experiences culminate and help you now?
Well, it was a rich, rich experience of coming up that way because I became part of like the assistant pastor and was preaching in the church when the pastor was gone, and then preaching in the church and teaching Bible study and working with the congregation and the different age groups and economics, whatever it might be, working with them and learning. So when the time came to assume the position, I was ready. I had done years of experience and years of opportunities and years of listening. See, that's the key. You have to be able to listen to other folks who are trying to teach you something. It doesn't matter what your degrees are. They have life experience. And when they share, and they would back in the day, especially would impart knowledge with you, you know, some of the things of life that they learned that were more valuable back then than anything you could have gotten out of a textbook. And they may not themselves have been able to read a textbook, but life taught them some valuable lessons that would help you if you put them in your toolbox and just held on to them long enough and knew when to pull them out.
One word that I hear a lot in association with Shiloh Baptist is love.
Love, absolutely. And I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? What? Come see for yourself. Just stop in, check it out for yourself. No pressure. And you'll find, without even saying why you're there, me or anything, you'll find how the people will surround you with that love. Because God is love. Christ is love. So, yes, we exemplify that we believe in.
Love it, love it, love it. You are now streaming online. This is a byproduct, I guess, of COVID. How has that evolved the ministry? And is it, do you find it like positive or negative? Or
that's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Is it a positive or a negative? And I'll simply say this. It is a product of COVID. However, when COVID hit and many churches closed and different things and we had all these restrictions, Shiloh Baptist Church, 100 Lawrence Street, never closed. I was there every single Sunday through the entire pandemic, followed every rule and regulation that the city had put in place, but I continued to be there because me personally, I found it hard to preach and teach about a God that can do all things, but he couldn't work through this. So for that reason, I just trusted in what I preached. And I was there every Sunday, never missed a Sunday through an entire pandemic. Staff might be small, but I was in that place preaching the gospel from the pulpit that I had been called to.
What is the difference between the day you accepted the position and now? What growth have you seen in yourself that needed to take place?
From the day that I took the position to now was monitoring and understanding that I, too, had to continue growing. Right? It doesn't matter that somebody gave you a position. You have to grow into that position. And you have to be humble enough to know that you need to grow into that position. You can't get ego-driven by a title and start acting like I got it all. No. What I did, I remember when I first got called to the position, was I surrounded myself around people who knew what I didn't know. So that way it would never appear that I didn't know. And yet they were teaching me in the areas that I needed improvement. They were teaching me in the areas that I needed growth. And I would hang around older pastors who had been there and done that, so that they could teach me, and I humbled myself enough to sit down and be a student. Even though I was a leader in one area of my life, I became a student in another area so that I could strengthen my leadership skills and be able to give the people what I felt they rightfully deserved.
One thing about being a good leader is you always surround yourself with people that know more and do more so you can learn more. Did you see that with your father?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He had a connection with other fellow clergy, most certainly, and they would share experiences together, and they would talk about areas that might need growth and how they might evolve as the times were changing even back then. Until this day, that's still important. You have to find yourself a community where you can get together and talk about both the good, the positive, the negatives, and all of that, and be honest and transparent enough to see yourself in the midst of it all.
Then this man starts the Love March. And it's held not on Martin Luther King Day, it's held on his birthday.
We hold the Love March every year on January the 15th because we've been marching for 55 years. Martin Luther King holiday isn't 55 years old. So when my dad started the Love March 55 years ago, he wanted to honor Dr. Martin Luther King by having the Love March on his actual birthday, which is January the 15th. And when they decided that they were going to make the national holiday, they said, hey, we're going to give him the third Monday, whatever it might be. And my father said, no, we've been doing this on his actual birthday for 20 years or whatever it might have been by that time. And he said, so we're going to continue. And we've continued that legacy for 55 years. It'll be the 55th Martin Luther King Jr. Love March coming up on January the 15th, 2025.
Rain, sleet, or snow?
Rain, sleet, snow, blizzard conditions, you name it. We've never, ever canceled the Love March. Never.
Brick cold.
It doesn't matter. Brick cold, throw on three layers and get out there. Because for me, it represents the struggles of the people that made it all possible for us. They marched dogs, fire hoses, whatever it might be. And for those that weren't even a part of the march, those that paved the way for us, that struggled, that never took a day off out of the struggle, right? So for me, it gives me that strength. My dad and them who started the Love March never canceled the Love March. They didn't care. They were going to march on January 15th regardless. And I've carried that legacy until this present time.
Marching is a form of protest. It's a form of standing up. And how do you endure? How does that endure the time?
It's interesting you would ask that question because it becomes more and more challenging as time goes on because the older generation had understood the power of marching. This newer generation tends to look at marching and says, man, we don't do that anymore. That was effective back then, but it's not effective now. But what they fail to realize is it's about coming together. It's about uniting for a common cause and making that common cause seen publicly. That's what it's always been about. That's what it's still about today. And whether we march or people come together collectively in organizations, they still understand the power of coming together. We just come together and lift up a legacy that was started long before us in the civil rights movement and the like. And because they paved the way for us, we will continue to honor that tradition.
And celebrities come out, mayors come out. I mean, to this day, and it's diversified.
Absolutely. The Love March has always been open and welcome to all who understood and appreciated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all that he had done. And it's interesting that you bring up Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Love March because I was born on August the 28th, 1963. And that was the day that King did the I Have a Dream speech. So look at that. No matter how you look at it, I'm still connected one way or another, right?
And your father did have a chance to meet Dr. Martin Luther King. It's not like there's no connection there.
Absolutely. He had a chance to meet Dr. Martin Luther King in Hartford. We worked on the housing committee back then in Hartford.
So there's always a connection.
Absolutely.
Always a connection. We're going to talk a little bit about the church and how important is it to go ahead and still find a church, especially a local church with all the options on the internet and all around the world.
I'll speak to it this way. There may be a hospital that's somewhere out of state that specializes in something, but when you get ill in your local town, where do you go? You go to that local hospital because that's what's there. When you understand the power of the local church is the one that can minister to you, be there to support your family, right? Like our church, for instance, we have generations that have been there. I mean, third and fourth generations of people that have been there. And now it's more difficult, as you mentioned, about the social, the online and the live streaming and stuff. And it saddens me to an extent that people now have gotten so busy that they forgot the power of coming together with community, right? Coming together with like-minded people that you may come together and grow together and celebrate together and be transparent together and struggle together, cry together, laugh together, lift each other up together. And it's not just about you. It's about if you have family and offspring, you're still instilling in them the importance of coming together. You're teaching them networking without the title, right? You're teaching them how to meet people and communicate with people and how to be in community with people, regardless of where they come from. Our church is full of people from multiple ethnicities and backgrounds and cultures and all of that. We welcome everyone, as it is with the Love March. Everyone is available. Everyone has the opportunity to come. The home of the Love March is open the same way. Open to all. Whosoever will, let them come.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here with the good Reverend Kennedy Hampton. And time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
We're closing out the show, going to the end here. First off, I do want to touch a little bit about giving. We were talking about giving and how hard the person hears the word give. And in this economy, you know, they flinch a little. So,
well, that's probably because they may flinch because when they hear giving, they're thinking simply finances. But today's time, we have the gift of time, the gift of skills, the gifts of knowledge. All of these things can be given in some kind of way. You can give of your time and volunteer somewhere where you can help others, right? You can give the gift of your presence and being places that others may be able to see you as a leader and be able to say, okay, if they did it, it's possible for me. Obviously, absolutely, there's a gift of financing. And one thing I think is important, that when you begin to understand that somebody poured into you and that you ought to be able to be grateful to have the opportunity to pour into others as well.
Yeah.
And so I want to, in the few moments that I have left, I want to invite you to come and be a part of our worship experience. Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, 100 Lawrence Street in the great city of New Haven. Our morning worship experience starts at 10:30. We tend to be about 10:30 to 11:45. So we ask if you plan on coming to be a part of our worship experience, come on early. And we also on Wednesday nights have what we call the Empowerment Study, which is our contemporary modern day Bible study. Because I'm a believer, it's great to read the book, but can you live it? And what does the book have to offer you? So that's what we bring forth in our Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 7:30 at the church. All are welcome all the time.
And what's happening January 15th?
January 15th, rain, sleet, snow, blizzard, or whatever, we're going to be gathering at 100 Lawrence Street in the great city of New Haven, and we're going to come together with everyone, whoever might show up. I heard him mention politicians, but it's bigger than that. Everybody comes together, and we come together, we join together, we unite together. We leave the church at 11 o'clock a.m., and we hit the streets, and we begin to march, and this will be our 55th year annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Love March.
And, of course, right after, we're back in a warm church and hear a good old word.
Absolutely. And this year, our keynote speaker is the Reverend William Sutton from First Baptist Church in Stratford. So we invite you all to come on out, be a part of history, be a part of the legacy. It's in your city. It's the longest running Martin Luther King event in the state, pretty much. So we invite you to come out and be a part of this history. This opportunity is yours to introduce to your kids so they too can be a part of this generation. We love you. All are welcome. We hope to see you then. And even on a Sunday, you can watch us live stream if you determine to stay home on smbcnh.org or Facebook, Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. We welcome you, but we invite you to come in because there's nothing like the real thing.
Final words out there to the people, and when it comes to life, when it comes to coming to God, talking to Jesus, what would you have to say to your audience right here?
I would say to the audience right now, you are more than the sum total of the things that have gone wrong in your life. And when you can begin to realize that, you'll understand that you still have value no matter what you've been through. And that there's a loving God with loving arms that are wide open to receive you and all of your broken pieces. And he'll take every single one of those pieces and put them back together again.
Huh. Thank you very much. You're married?
I am married. I am married.
Who is the young lady? And can we say hello to her real quick?
I sure can. I'd love to say hello to my beautiful wife, Charlene Faison Hampton. She was a Faison before she met me. We've been married 36 years. And we have four lovely children, Shayna, Aaliyah, Kennedy, and Kyle.
There you go. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate you.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and that has been a very in-depth and delightful conversation with the good Reverend Kennedy Hampton Sr. Thank you very much yet again. And, of course, to my audience, thank you for listening.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.